Well, good morning. And how are we doing this morning? So far, so good. I like that response because it's like I'm expecting for things not to be good eventually. But for right now, I will enjoy it. That kind of last night, this nice thunderstorms going through town. And most evenings, I'm sitting out on my front porch. And it was just nice to be out there with the smell of fresh rain coming down and the breeze coming through and the nice little lightning show in front of me. And I might be weird in thinking that way, but I don't know. I really appreciated it. And I know that, you know, there's some people that appreciate rain more than others. So we had rain last night and it was good. But we're not here to talk about rain or the weather. We're here to worship God this morning. So let's go ahead and begin this morning with this call to worship. In you, O God, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Let us pray. Come, dear Christ, into this house of worship and into every longing heart. Some who gather here need healing. Touch us and give us strength. Many feel confused by the news of the day. Quiet our minds and help us place our trust in you. Many of us doubt ourselves and question our purpose. Call us anew to be instruments of your grace for a world that yearns to know your peace. Amen.
Psalm 71, verse 1 through 6. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. That's God's words for his people. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thanksgiving in our hearts, thankful that we are free to come here and worship, thankful for our health that we could get out today, thankful for fellowship with our church family, thankful that you are watching over our people who are sick and those who could not be with us today. Thankful for doctors and nurses who help our loved ones. We're thankful for the rain we received yesterday and last night. Thankful for the beautiful crops we see growing and the flowers and all of nature that you provide for us. Thankful for this country we live in. Thankful for people who stand up to be leaders, not only in our church, but in the community and in this country. Thankful that you are watching over the teachers and children as they are beginning their new year. Thankful for your love, grace, and mercy, and forgiveness. And most of all, we are so thankful for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. We lift all this up in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Generous God, you have blessed us throughout our lives. Take these offerings and every gift we give and use them to show others the breadth of your unfailing love. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah. We're just continuing our stint going through the various prophets. This morning it comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. So hear now the words of the Lord as spoken through the prophet. The Lord's word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Ah, Lord God, I said, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a child. The Lord responded, don't say I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. What I tell you, you must say. Don't be afraid of them, because I'm with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, I'm putting my words in your mouth. This very day I appoint you over nations and empires to dig up and pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. These are the words of the Lord spoken to the prophet Jeremiah. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that we have to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to lift up your name in prayer and in song, and for the opportunity to give just a portion back out of gratitude what you've already given to us. And Lord, we give you thanks to hear these words from the scriptures read aloud. And now as we enter into a time to explore these words a little bit more, may our hearts and minds be open to receive that which your Spirit would have us receive this morning. May the words from my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So as I mentioned, we've been going through some prophets lately, the past couple months. We've talked about Amos and Hosea and Isaiah, and now this morning, Jeremiah. And at some point in time, you might have picked up on this, they've all had their decent amount of struggles along the way. They've all struggled and been the source of even ridicule. And I can't help but wonder how many times each one of them, and the many other prophets and scriptures, I wonder how many times they thought themselves, maybe I've bit off more than I could chew. Maybe I'm not actually doing what it is I'm supposed to be doing. In many cases, I'm sure that many of them would have rather remained silent, judging by the responses they were getting from those around them. And oftentimes that feeling of wishing that they wouldn't have spoken up, it probably did come from those around them. There are a couple of ways in which people are silenced in this world, and no, I don't mean it in just the mafia way of thinking of that word. But oftentimes people use fear and intimidation to get people to be quiet. Because fear and intimidation are difficult for us to overcome and even to work past in many situations. Prophets, almost by virtue of their job description, are people who have been chased down, ganged up on, lied about, isolated, excluded, denounced, and yes, in some cases, silenced in that more ugly way. Honestly, how many of us would want to engage in something that is dangerous for us socially, much less something that threatens our very physical safety? We are certainly talking about some people here in the prophets who had a deep connection with the God that called them to this, because otherwise, the price would have been too much to pay. Otherwise, what's the point? It's the kind of job, being a prophet, that you could be great at, but still find a tremendous amount of difficulty in moving forward with. Part of our DNA as human beings is that we want to be in relationship, and that means that we want to be included. And oftentimes being included means that we don't stand out, right? We want connections, and sometimes that means that we want to be considered included and normal, whatever that is. We want to be considered everyday kind of people. Prophecy, however, has a way of interfering with that desire. Because doing prophetic work requires a certain kind of boot camp that only God can provide. And in that boot camp, what happens? You become set apart. God said that to Jeremiah. I'm setting you up in a very specific kind of position that everyone's going to know. You're not going to be the average Joe, Jeremiah. Hate to tell you. But then there's a second phase of prophetic work where you don't know if things are going to go well for you. It's just rather a sink or swim situation. God gives you everything that you need to be equipped to do it. That's the boot camp. And next thing you know, you're just being tossed into the ocean, wondering if you're going to be able to swim or not. Not an effective way to teach kids to swim, I would argue. But that's the way prophetic ministry kind of works out. You don't know how people are going to react. You don't know if you're going to survive it or not. But yet, here you are. It might be easy for some of us to think the prophetic work would be great to get into. It sounds glamorous. The people are important. You know, it sounds like it's full of power and ambition and respect. But the reality is that prophetic work and prophetic ministry is truly anything but glamorous. It can lead to sadness, depression, despair, fear, spiritual fatigue. You know, you see how the kingdom of God should be working in our here and now, and then you get so frustrated and depressed about it not being the case. You know that feeling you get when you know that things would be right if it were in this particular way, but they're not in that particular way, and it feels like you're helpless to it? It's frustrating. It stinks. Those are the PG words for it. Engaging in prophetic ministry is starting something that is very messy and very dangerous, especially at first. Then you have to survive it. And striving the first stage of prophetic work requires a resolve that is deep within. How many of us have heard of people who started a business? How many of you have started a project that very quickly you realized, oh, this is going to kill me? You didn't realize how much work actually went into it. And you got one of two options. You either stick with it, or you just let it go off to the wayside. When it comes to prophetic work, there is a deep resolve within that has to come along with it. Otherwise, it'd be all too easy to say, this world's never going to be right. I'm just going to walk away. But these biblical prophets that we look to as heroes of sorts, they stuck with it, but they struggled. Oh, they struggled. Jeremiah wept, not knowing how much trouble he was going to be getting himself into with this whole prophetic work thing. Elijah, he flat out ran and hid for a little bit just to survive. He ran and hid. Elijah is kind of an important guy. When Jesus went up on the mountain to be transfigured, it was Moses and Elijah. Hosea, who we talked about, he was discouraged and he was fed up. Nehemiah left the comfort of his job into something that's anything but comfortable. And yet, there is something that can get us through. There's something that these prophets were leaning on to get them through. And for those of you that are paying attention, yes, I did say something that can get us through. Because don't think that you're exempt from this as well. As we saw with many of these prophets, God calls all of us to do some prophetic ministry as part of our discipleship. These prophets, they came from all walks of life. So it makes sense that we ourselves who come from all walks of life would also be called to do something to bring forth the kingdom of heaven in our here and our now. We're called to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And I think that we can all agree that the world needs some transformation in it. From our community here and beyond, a lot of change needs to happen. But how? Prophets are called to point out what's not working. We've been talking about this over and over the past few weeks. Prophets are called to point out that which is not the kingdom of heaven in our here and now, so that as a community we can repent together and work on changing that. The thing is, though, if we can't identify the problem, or if we refuse to identify the problem because it's just too difficult for us, because we're scared to, if we can't identify the problem, then how are we supposed to change the world in a way that it does reflect the kingdom of heaven? That's the necessity of prophets. That's why we ourselves are called to do some prophetic ministry ourselves, to see that which is not the kingdom of heaven, so that we can work towards it. If you don't know where the clog of the pipes are, how do you know to fix it? If you don't know where the short in the circuit is, how are you going to get the electricity running? If you don't know where the issues are when it comes to sharing God's love in the world around us, how are we supposed to go about dealing with it? So as I was saying, yes, prophecy is hard work that can seem near impossible to survive at times. In fact, there are three things that we might want to recall this morning when it comes to doing this prophetic work. Because in case you hadn't noticed, Jeremiah's words were that of reluctance. I don't want to do this. I'm scared to do this. Yet even Jeremiah was learning these three things. The first thing is the knowledge that God did not make a mistake in calling us to this ministry. Did you hear what God was saying to Jeremiah in that moment when he's saying, "Don't choose me. I can't speak. I'm but a kid. You're making a mistake by asking that I do this. You're making a mistake by charging me with this." And God's saying, "No, I didn't. I knew you before you were you. I knew you before you were even a twinkle in your parents' eyes. I know you, and I know the plans that I have for you. I didn't make a mistake." Take a hold of what I'm about to say to you. You were made for this work. You might be saying to God, "God, how in the world are you calling me to do this? I'm not capable. I'm not the person you need to go to for this." Well, take heart. And that God doesn't make mistakes. God did God's research. And God promised not to abandon us. And that promise to not abandon, it never fails. And that's good to know, because there will be plenty of times where you will feel inadequate to do what God is asking you to do. I can't tell you how many times. Myself, I've said, "God, there's no way. There's no way you're calling me to do this. I'm just going to screw it up. In some way, shape, or form, I guarantee you, I will screw it up." And God has just said, "You know what? I'm still calling you to do it, because I didn't make a mistake." You may have found moments in your own life where literally it was by the grace of God that you were able to accomplish some huge task. That literally by the grace of God, you were able to make it through a difficult time. You might have all the way been saying, "God, you made a mistake in choosing me." But then God saw you through it. It happens to us all. We give God this list of reasons why selecting us is not a good idea, and nevertheless, God does not give up on us. And this means that not only did God not make a mistake, but also that God isn't going to abandon you in those difficult times. of going about doing God's work. Second is that God handles those who stand in the way of God's work being done. So yes, sometimes we trip and stumble over ourselves and it's our own fault. Sometimes we have other people who try to deter us. I'm sure that all of us at some point in time have experienced people who got in our way to try to keep us from reaching our goals. They may distract us by causing us personal grief. They may try to assassinate our character. They may personally attack us and even sabotage our efforts at meeting our goals. We've come across the naysayers. We've come across the people who think that what we're doing is wrong or stupid or unrealistic or simply didn't want us to succeed. Well, their tactics aren't our responsibility to manage. It can be really tempting to try to manage other people. It can be really tempting to try to control other people and get them to knock it off, but we can't do that. After all, we have no control over other people, only control over ourselves. But that means that we do have the power to choose how we respond. When we have other people telling us that we're not good enough, when we have other people telling us that what we're trying to attempt is dumb or impossible, we still get to choose to stand. Notice how in the scripture passage this morning, God told Jeremiah not to be scared of them, not to be scared of the naysayers, not to be scared of the individuals who are trying to convince him that what he's about to do is impossible, that what he's going about doing is foolish. God tells Jeremiah, don't worry about them. A big part of being a prophet is to stand no matter what. To choose to stand no matter how tired you get just from the work itself or how tired you get of those naysayers trying to get in your way. A big part of this prophetic work is to choose to stand in the midst of facing your loss. Because you very well might lose relationships. You very well might lose respect. You very well might lose a number of things. But to choose to stand even in the midst of your loss in society, to choose to stand in the conviction that God's voice can shake the foundations and remind the people to turn from their ways. No matter what others may say or do to deter you and your efforts, you can still choose to stand. And that is a huge part of this prophetic work that we're called to do. Finally, trust what you see. Fatigue oftentimes gives us a sense of doubt and cowardice. And when other people are trying to deter you, they will have you even question your sanity. They will have you question your own perception of events. You'll be told more often than not, that's not really what happened. You'll be told more often than not, what you saw isn't what you actually saw. They'll use this fatigue. They'll see that you're tired. And they'll try to use that fatigue against you for something that you were so certain of last year, something you were so certain of last month, something you're so certain of last week or yesterday, even just 5 minutes ago. And now, are you seriously going to let them question your determination? Are you seriously going to let them question what God is calling you to do, to point out what God is pointing out to you? It can be really easy to do that. But here's the thing. If a system is working for them, and if you call that system into question, they're not going to like it. If taking advantage of you has been easy for years and all of a sudden you realize I can stand up and find a healthier relationship dynamic, of course it's going to tick them off. If you stand up and point out this isn't working in the community, not for everyone, yeah, for you, maybe, but not for everyone, they're not going to like it. That's why prophetic work is so difficult. Because not everyone wants to hear things need to change. Things need to be different. You need to be sharing God's love in a more legitimate, authentic fashion and not in ways that are taking advantage. If it doesn't work for them, of course they're going to try to stop you. They may be doing this intentionally. They may be doing it unconsciously. Either way, be strong and don't let their gaslighting make you question your perception of events. Don't let them choose not to stand. God asked Jeremiah and Amos the same question, what do you see? And we've talked about that question, what do you see? We've talked about how what that question is really saying is, look honestly at the reality of the situation. Look for the truth behind the image. He asked Jeremiah that question 3 times, and Jeremiah saw a branch of an almond tree, a boiling pot, and figs. Some of the figs were really good. Some of the figs were anything but. Amos saw a plumb line and a basket of fruit that we've talked about. Zechariah was another prophet who God asked, what do you see? And he saw a lampstand of gold with its bowl for oil on top of it and its 7 lamps on it with 7 spouts. On another occasion, Zechariah saw a flying scroll with a length of 20 cubits and its width was 10 cubits. Now the naysayers might be saying to Zechariah, well, that sounds like an awful big scroll. That sounds kind of weird. Zechariah could have said, you're right, that is weird. Maybe I need to doubt what God showed me. Or, instead, Zechariah could choose to see the truth behind the image, to see the reality of the situation that God was showing him, and do something about it and choose to stand. Prophetic ministry requires that we trust what we see. And there's plenty of people that try to get us to question what it is that we see. News and media outlets oftentimes do have a bias and a perspective that they're trying to push. Social media posts, oh, those are fun, predominantly skewed and filled with self-righteous indignation in the comment section. Oh, pop some popcorn and watch some of those threads just go. And sometimes we even need to be aware of the bias which has been programmed and ingrained in us from our upbringing. Some of us who have been told you're not good enough. Some of us who have been told you don't speak well. Some of us who are told, forget about it, you're worthless. And we've bought into it. More often than we care to admit, we have been taught to believe certain things about certain groups of peoples or ideas, and we have to be willing to challenge those by questioning how valid those taught biases are. How valid is it that I'm worthless? How valid is it that I'm not good enough? Because I've got a God that's telling me otherwise. And I've got a God that's not given up on me. And because of that, I choose to stand in the midst of it. God is calling each of us into a prophetic ministry. And it requires us to trust what we see and not let others, the media, or even our own programming get in the way. Because those visions that human beings oftentimes are casting, those visions that society is casting as this is the way things should be, they're short term. Do you notice that? They're short term. They don't go on forever. They don't last forever. The change that those short term visions introduce is only that, short term. The vision that God is casting into these prophets as a long-term solution for our communities, a long-term way of showing this is how you love one another. This is how the kingdom of heaven gets to be brought into our here and now and forever moving forward. Though short vision casts what a human being or society has envisioned in order to help keep things running smoothly, it's for themselves. The prophet rises above these to see what God is showing us instead. That is the call. To stand above and to see what God is showing us. But that also requires a lot of courage to learn to trust what you're being shown by God, because it will be different and it will be strange at first. And yet God is still calling us to do it. And as you can see, it can take a long time to learn how to work through the doubt and the obstacles from others and even from yourself. However, remember, God didn't make a mistake. We are called to be honest about the state of things around us and to see how the kingdom of heaven can be better realized here on earth in our here and now. And I recognize that this is an intimidating concept, but let me encourage you to trust that God knew you before you were even you and knows what God is doing. May we be a people who see what God is showing us and then have the courage to speak to it and work towards the realization of the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to hear that even prophets doubted themselves. And even prophets like Jeremiah took a beat. Help us to learn, though, from the prophet's example, that even in the midst of the hardships, even as there were those that were literally chasing them out of town, help us to learn and be like them in choosing to still stand. Stand for what it is that you are calling us to stand for, to see what it is that you are showing us, and then to have the courage to implement it here and now. Lord, be with us and remind us that we are not alone and that we can survive those hard things with you by our side. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, don't be discouraged by the naysayers. Don't let others or even yourself deter you from that which God is calling you to do and seeing the reality of the situation of our world. Choose to stand, do that prophetic work, and remember that all the while as you do it, you are held in the palms of the Almighty. Amen.